Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
You all are getting a treat now. Shortly, Pastor Tom will be back, and I won't be up here anymore, so enjoy it while you can. Hallelujah. We're just so happy to have all of those joining us on iChurch in Spanish and in English. Thank you for joining us, and hopefully we'll say something that will bless you. As we were looking at the church anniversaries that we're going to begin to celebrate, I said to Rick, I don't know where that guy went. I mean, that guy was something else, wasn't he? Man. But he left. And he ain't coming back. Yeah, the life takes away all the veneer and the facade and reveals what it really is. Is, and sometimes it's not pretty. All right, let's get about God's business. We are teaching on the tabernacle, and if you would you put the tabernacle up for us? This is the word picture that Yahweh painted, had Moshe paint it in the wilderness when the children of Israel came out of Mizraim, which you call Egypt. And within this is the whole gospel and the whole message of the coming Savior, Yeshua. Also, within here is revealed the church. And what the church means as it relates to those who believe in him. One thing it pointed out is that there is but one way to God. And that's what the messages are about, one way to God. There's not two ways, three ways, four ways, the Baptist way, the Methodist way, the Episcopalian way, the Catholic way, the Pentecostal way. That's simply one way. Now, because we are ministering about the Holy Spirit, it is important that we understand that without the Holy Spirit, you can get any kind of way you want to out of the Word. Because the Word here on paper are simply words. But the Holy Spirit unlocks the spiritual aspects of the word and revealed to us what God's true plan was. If you remember, I said a few weeks ago, for 1,000 years, they read this book, the Torah, not the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. Shaul and all of them taught from the Torah, or from the prophets, from the writings. The Torah, the Ketuvim, and the Nevi'im was what they had. Nevi'im is the prophet. Ketuvim is the writings. They taught from there. We have the blessings of the apostles drawing out from those books and those writings the New Testament. So we have something they didn't have. But yet, I don't know whether we are any farther ahead than they were. Because we got all kinds of religious views that says we're the church. I mean, you have the Catholic, you have the Baptist. You know, there's but one church. There's one faith, there's one God, one faith, one baptism. One Lord over all and through all and in you all. There's only one. And we have been trying to point out to you that who that is. So now let's go to the holy place. Because once you got into the gate, you had two compartments. This compartment is called the holy place. This is a type of the church. And in this compartment is the golden lampstand, the table of shewbread. The golden lampstand represents the Holy Spirit. The table of shewbread represents the word of Yahweh, and the golden altar of incense, which represents prayer. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, and you're not into the word, and you're not praying, you're not fulfilling the minimal duties of a saved person. Hallelujah. I mean, the Monday night prayer should be as full as the Sunday morning service. And the Wednesday Bible class should be as full as the Sunday morning service. But we got this idea, I'm going to come on Sunday, but I don't need to come on Wednesday. And it don't have to be Wednesday. It can be Tuesday, Friday, whenever folks are having Bible study. Amen. But if you don't minister in all of this, you're not fulfilling your minimum duty in the church. So, I am going to, you know something? You know where I were here? I was at something called Christmas. I don't know where I got that. Now that we are about to leave this lampstand, we have ministered at this lampstand for a number of weeks. So now it's time to move on. I haven't finished. I haven't exhausted it, but it's time for us to move on. But there are some things we should not forget. If you'll notice, the lampstand is the only light in the holy place, which would be the church. It is the only light. If this lampstand would go out, you would not be able to see anything in the holy place. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to us that the lampstand is vital to the ministry of the believer in the church of Yahweh. So he leads us to prayer. I mean, to the word. He leads us to prayer. The Holy Spirit must be involved in all of these things that we do in the church. We have people travel great distances to have folk lay their hands on them and tell them something, reveal something to them. I mean, it is so foolish that you don't know that you got the Holy Ghost. And if you got the Holy Ghost, then the Holy Ghost will reveal things to you. So today we're going to start out with Yirmiyahu, which you call him Jeremiah. There was no Jeremiah. His name was Yirmiyahu. But all of the names in the Bible was changed. It was changed when King James had the Bible translated into English. So no name that was originally in the Torah, you will not find any of those names in the New Testament or in the Old Testament. They've changed them all. So when we tell you that his name was Yeshua, you got to understand that even Yeshua's name was changed. Why did they do that? We don't know. I have an idea, but if I told you what my idea was, you'd think I'm a bad person. So I won't tell you. Yeah, because you think I'm talking about folks. But why would you change every name in the Bible? Why would you ever think about changing every name in the Bible? Amazing. The only reason you would change every name in the Bible is to mislead people. Would you agree? You have people calling out names that has never existed and believing in names that never existed. I think Satan is a pretty smart fellow. He's a cunning man. No, he's like a serpent. That's why the Bible shows him as a serpent. He's a cunning one. In fact, when he approached Hava, which we call Eve, you know, he didn't come right at her. You know, he started on that. Hey, how you doing? Did God say you can't eat of all the trees in the garden? And you know, try to start a conversation. And he said, oh, no. He said, we can only eat it. We can't eat of that tree. Oh, he said, he don't want you to be wise. And he started the conversation and he subverted her right from the gate. Hallelujah. All right. Yirmiyahu, 31st chapter, 31st verse. I've read it before, but I'm going to do it again now to let you know. You don't have to travel across country to know something about what God wants you to do. Okay? Like I say, people travel across country. I got to go to this meeting. Oh, yeah, I've got to go to this meeting. They'll lay their hands on me. I'll get healed. Well, I had this one guy. He had a microphone on, and they took information from the people. And then he was standing up there, and he would say, oh, come. Yes, yes, I see now. You from Chicago. Yes. Your mother died 6 months ago. Yeah. He already know that. They had him fill out a card. God knew that, so God wanted to give us something that he could talk directly to us and we don't have to depend on other folks. Yirmiyahu, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda. Notice I changed the names back. So the whole idea is covenant is the beret. It is an agreement, a contract. God said, I had a contract with Israel and the house of Yehuda. But I'm going to make a new contract. Now watch. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Mizraim, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith Yahweh. Now, why did he use the word husband? It's because he's looking at this from the perspective that a husband cherishes his wife and his family. A husband supports his wife and his family. Am I right? The God husband. Right? The husband loves his wife and his family. The husband would do anything for his wife and his family. So he used this as something that you could humanly understand. Maybe we can't so much today because I would dare say there is not very many husbands in the home today. If I'm right, right? But when you are a true husband, you love your family. You love your wife. You cherish your wife. And so the point he's making is that it's a terrible thing when a husband or a wife, a husband loves his wife, or a wife loves her husband and would do anything for them, but the other one don't love back. The other one out there swinging. That's a terrible situation. What did somebody say? Hateful? Hurtful situation. God is talking about his pain. I did everything for them. I love them. I cherish them. But they broke the relationship. He knows the reality is in their natural selves, they could not keep a relationship with him. Right? He says, although I was a husband unto them, says God. But this shall be, 33rd verse, the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said Yahweh. I will put my Torah, says law here, but when you see the word law, you can substitute Torah. I will put my Torah, and Torah translated into English means teachings. I will put my teachings in their inward part. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got the teaching in the inside. Yeah, I'm going to put my Torah, my teachings, in the inward part. Now watch this. And write it in their hearts, or in their spirits. And will be their God, and they shall be my people. God said, here's how the new marriage is going to work. My teachings, my Torah, I'm going to put inside them. And then I'm going to write my Torah, my teachings in their spirit. And I'll be their God, and they will be my people. Here's the idea. They won't doubt whether I'm their God, and I will have no doubt whether they are my people. If you don't know that Yahweh is your God, that's a problem. Am I right or wrong? Now, 34th verse. And they shall teach no more every man, somebody say woman, his brother, and every man, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. I don't need no preacher to tell me who Yahweh is and what he is to me. Because I have it in the inside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, we don't need no more preacher. You need some preacher to teach you the word, but you don't need no preacher to tell you to know Yahweh if you got the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise God. Say, praise God. I'm not depending on nobody to tell me I'm saved. Huh? I'm not depending on anybody to say to me, oh, the Lord said. I don't need that. I got him on the inside. But if I don't know that, I'll act like he's on the outside. So that's the whole idea about God in the church. God's on the outside, and we are out here, and he's over there, and we are begging him to come and help us. Romans said, you don't have to go up to heaven to get Yeshua. You don't have to go down to the depth to get Yeshua and bring him up. You got it right here. You got the word that's nigh you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. You gonna believe this? Now watch it. Saying, know Yahweh, for they shall all know me, from the least unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. So we know he's talking about Yeshua here, right? So God said, I'm going to put all they need on the inside of them. And they will not have to say to anyone that I'm God and that I'm their God. For all of them shall know me, from the least, the smartest of them, to the dumbest of them. Should I say dumb? Some people are not quite as smart as other people. Am I right or wrong? God didn't create you as an individual. He gave you parents. Some of you had parents that was not so smart. Maybe I'm going wrong here. Let me take another. Some of you did not have parents that was educated and could teach you some stuff. All of us came from different places in life. Some came from drug houses. Some came from fool houses. Some came from terrible anger houses. Some come from houses of hatred and animosities. We didn't ask to be born in those houses. That's where we came from. But God is able to change it all. And from the least to the greatest, we will know him. See, when you look at the world, they take care of the smart folks. And we dumb folks, you say, you consider yourself dumb? Well, yeah. I'm dumb as a fox. But I'm not worldly smart, but you see, when they make laws in Congress, they don't think about you. They don't think about me. They think about the rich and the famous. When they do tax cuts, they'll say to you, we're cutting your taxes, and you, because they said it, will believe it. But they cut the taxes of the rich and the famous. And they just keep telling you, we cut your taxes. We cut your taxes. See, they think we're so dumb that we don't even know they didn't cut our taxes. Right? They don't think we can count our check and say, hey, I ain't got no extra money here. The famous, the rich, and the powerful think we're all dumb. They can tell us anything, and we will believe it. But God said, it won't be that way about me. All of them will know me, from the least to the greatest. So the apostles trusted the Holy Spirit. And that's what I'm trying to get you to do. They trusted the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They knew that Yeshua said that he would send them the Comforter, and the Comforter would be their leader and their guide. They believed that. They accepted that. They would seek for that, and they were open for that to happen. Now, I want you to place that in your heart. You know the Holy Spirit is here to lead you. I want you to accept that. Then I want you to seek his guide and be open unto his guide. So you do a little stuff like, you know, I told you the other week what I do, and you think that's dumb, but I said that for a purpose. I'm driving to work. I got two ways I could come. I asked the Holy Spirit, what street should I go down? You say, you don't have enough sense to know what street to go down. I got the natural sense to know where to go. But what I'm doing, I'm practicing. I'm practicing being led by the Holy Spirit. If you are not aware that you need to be led and want to be led and seek to be led, you will never be led. So I'm practicing. Holy Spirit, which way should I go? In everything, Holy Spirit, what should I do? I'm practicing that I can get where the apostles were, where they trusted the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. Look at 1 Johannan 2:26. Notice I called him Johannan. See, I'm putting all the names back again. 1 Johannan 2:26. Are we there? Say amen. Let's start at 25th verse. And this is a promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that what? Seduce you. Planao, that wants to lead you astray, that is trying to deceive you, telling you they got higher information than you got, telling you that they want to be your guide and tell you who you are and what plans God have for you. And then when they get that power over you, they will lead you where they want you to go. You can't give anybody that kind of power over you. Shaul said to the people, follow me as I follow Yeshua. I don't want any power over you outside of the power of God. So if I'm going wrong, don't you follow me. But the anointing, say charisma. Charisma. Charisma is a metaphor for the Holy Spirit. The anointing stands for the Holy Spirit. It's something, metaphor, something that's placed in place that represents something else. He said, but the anointing, the charisma which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. I'm not talking about teach you in the Bible. But it's picking up from Yirmiyahu, teach you to know God. But the same charisma teaches you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as he has, it says it, but God's not it, as he has taught you, you should abide in him. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have the Holy Ghost. Huh? I have the anointing. See? Got it? Huh? As he said, the anointing, the charisma, the Holy Spirit that you have will teach you all things. Let me give you an example. If I say something to you that is not true, the Holy Spirit will tell you that's not true. Huh? You cannot lead a Holy Spirit practicing Christian astray. Notice I said practicing. You got a lot of folk with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost don't have them, and they don't even have the Holy Ghost. They just say they got the Holy Ghost. But in actuality, they are not being led by the Holy Spirit. So you have the anointing. Right? Now, let's begin to see how that works. Look at Acts 13. I might be able to finish this. Hopefully I will. Now, follow me closely. 13th chapter, first verse. Now there were, everybody there with me? Now there were, was in Antioch, that was in the church that was in Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as son of Nabas, this, there was never anybody named Barnabas. If you read it in the Hebrew text, it's Bar or Ben / Nabas. He was the son of Nabas. Now, they will use Bar to say that this was written in Aramaic, which Bar in Aramaic means son. Ben in Greek, in Hebrew means son. I am persuaded it's not Bar, it's Ben Nabas. He was the son of Nabas. Now, I'll stop and show you these kind of things. Maybe you don't want to know it, but one day it might come up and it's good to know. As son of Nabas, and Simeon that was called black. So Simeon was a black African. How many of you knew that? So when people try to say to you, Africans was not involved in the beginning, they're just wrong. Why would the Holy Ghost say that Simeon was called black? They wanted you to know that God has an integrated ministry. That's the only reason the Holy Spirit would reveal that. Yahweh believes in integration because everybody that come into the church is his children, no matter where they come from. No matter where they come from. There is no least, no greatest. They're all his children on the same level. Okay. As Simeon that was called Niger, black, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetras, and Tetras, it simply means he was the governor of a fourth part of the region. That's all it means. And Shaul. So they were all there in the church and they were all ministering. Second verse. As they ministered to Yahweh and fasted, the what? The Holy Ghost said. Notice, it didn't say one of them said. It said the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas, Barnabas and Shaul, for the work whereof I have called them. So Barnabas and Shaul went out to perform the ministry that Yahweh had called them to. The Holy Ghost informed them that these were the two men that was to go out and preach his word. How many of you, and don't lie, I'm saying don't lie, I don't want you to lie, and I don't want you to guess, how many of you have the Holy Ghost spoken that definite to you? Okay. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason that the Holy Ghost have not, is because you have not known that he does do that. See, you can't hear something if you have no expectation of hearing it. Does that make sense to you? So I'm teaching you that the Holy Ghost has a ministry to perform in your life, and he wants to teach you some stuff. But you got to know that. You got to be open to it. You got to believe it, and you got to seek it. So the Holy Ghost said, now, I would say that with this group, it was someone who was inspired in the Holy Ghost to speak this message. But they so trusted the Holy Ghost that they didn't take it as if it was coming from a person. They heard the Holy Ghost because they had the Holy Ghost. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. You say, well, see, they laid their hands on them. That was for ministry. You don't read anywhere where they're going around laying their hands on everybody. But I have laid hands on every preacher, pastor that went out from here. Because I'm following the word. I'm anointing him for the ministry that God has called him to. Now, they were guided by the Holy Spirit where to preach and where not to preach. See, we think, oh, them people need God. Everybody needs God. But we think, them people need God, I'm gonna go over there. But if you don't rely on the Holy Spirit, you get yourself in trouble. Look at Acts 16. And this is the Apostle Shaul and the group that was with him going out and evangelizing. Now, let's start at the sixth verse. Everybody with me? Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and was forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. Wait a minute. Shouldn't we just go to everybody? many of you know where Galatia is located today? Galatia is in the country called Turkey. All of the seven churches of Asia was in the country called Turkey. Yet Turkey is a total Islamic country today. And they were forbidden to preach in Asia. When I first heard that, I thought, well, the Chinese wasn't ready. But as I began to dig a little more, there is a place in the country, which was not the country of Turkey then, but is now. There was in a place around Galatia, just below Galatia, called Asia. So he wasn't talking about China or Japan. They were talking about a place right there in Turkey called Asia. All that area is called Asia Minor. You might get this in college. So the Holy Ghost said, don't preach over there. But those people need God. But the Holy Ghost said, no. Don't go over there and preach. See, you need to be led by the Holy Spirit to know who you should minister to. Because sometimes you're casting your pearls before swine. And the swine will turn and rend you, bite you. After they were come to Mysia, which is still in the country of Turkey. Remember, there was no real highways. There was no cars. There were no buses. There wasn't even horse and carriage in those days. Those people rode on donkeys. I had a little cart that was there that the donkey would pull, but there were no big wagons. And they were come to Mysia. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed, in other words, they thought they would go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit said, no, don't go there either. And they passing to Mysia came down to Troas. And Troas is right on the tip before they went back into Greece. And a vision appeared to Shaul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Macedonia is located just above Greece. That is the gateway to Europe. God said, I need you to take the gospel to Europe, to the heathen. Well, they were called, you know, Shaul called them that, barbarians. See, they were barbarians. But I need you to take the gospel to Europe. So the Holy Spirit is directing them where to preach. Now, also, if you remember, it said the Holy Ghost would show us things to come. Look at chapter 21. And I'm rushing here a little bit because my time is running fast. 21:10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Yehuda a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Shaul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, this says the Holy Ghost. So shall the Yehudim of Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So the Holy Ghost showed them what was going to happen to Shaul in the future. Now, it didn't tell them that for Shaul to not go to Jerusalem. It was showing him what was going to happen down there. 12 verse. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, talking about they begged Shaul, not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Shaul answered, what mean you to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Yeshua Mashiach. So the Holy Spirit showed him what was going to happen to him. It didn't tell him, don't go. It just said, this is going to happen to you when you go down to Jerusalem. But Shaul said, not only am I willing to be bound, I'm willing to die. How many of you are willing to die? No, don't raise your hand. I'm not saying you're not, but, you know, some of us are willing to die for the name of Yeshua. Huh? Some of us are ready to die for that. Now, I'm glad I had a little time. I didn't think I was going to get here, but I am here, and so I'm going to go there. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. The 14th chapter, the 13th verse. Because I want to reveal to you something today about the Holy Spirit leading in worship. I perceive that most of us have no expectation for the Holy Spirit to do anything in worship. Because I perceive that we look at worship like I'm the one that is making things exciting for the congregation. It's not the Holy Spirit. I'm not even waiting for the Holy Spirit. I'm not even looking for the Holy Spirit. I'm doing my thing. Help me, Lord. 13th verse. Wherefore, that is the 14th chapter. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, there's no such thing as an unknown tongue. It is not in the scripture. This is something that is added by the translators. All it says, that speaketh in tongues, pray that he may interpret. Here's the idea. If we are in church services and someone speaks in tongues and there's nobody to interpret, the one that spoke speaking in tongues should have already prayed that if there's no one to interpret, that Yahweh would give him, the Spirit would give him the interpretation. Got it? For if I pray in tongues, unknown, forget it, it's not there. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. My mind don't know what I'm praying. But your mind don't need to know what you are praying if you are praying in the spirit. Do you understand? Your mind, if it knew, it would get involved and try to think what it should do in what your spirit was praying. So if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying, but my mind is unfruitful. Hallelujah. Did you all know all this? See, we need to know what it means to minister, have the Holy Spirit minister in our church services. What is it then? I will pray in the Spirit, it says with the Spirit, in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. He says, what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a life of prayer. And it's going to be praying in the Spirit, that's in tongues, and praying in my own language, my mind. Also, I'm going to do both. See, when I pray in my mind, and I know what I'm praying, my mind gets some edification from the prayer that I'm praying. When I pray in the Spirit, my spirit is edified with the prayer that I am praying. Now watch this. I will sing in the Spirit. Now notice, I will what?
Sing.
I will sing in the Spirit. And when it says I will sing in the Spirit, it's talking about the Greek word for that is, let me see if I got it. Because this is a new word. It was created just for, yeah. The Greek word is pneumatikos. It's a word that had never existed before the day of Pentecost. But they needed a way to explain the ministry of the Holy Spirit in tongue, in singing. And so they came up with the word pneumatikos, which means an expression of spiritual worship. When I'm singing in the Spirit, it's the Spirit that's moving. It's not the mind. Now watch this. I will sing in the what? In the Spirit. Now I'm trying to help you all. So don't get mad. Don't get uptight. I've noticed when the Spirit is trying to bring in the spirit song, the spiritual song, some folks just kept talking in tongues as loud as they can. It's because they don't understand what is happening, and so they begin to speak in the tongue loud. And because they don't understand that singing in the Spirit is the Spirit's ministering in the church, they somewhat reject it. When the Spirit gives the Spirit song, the church is so edified, everybody who's filled with the Holy Ghost, it's the most beautiful, edifying sound in the church. Mother Colin, can you agree with that? You were around when we...
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. When we sang. Sang. The Spirit sang. Glory to God. Somebody say praise God. The Spirit would begin to sing. Hallelujah. I will sing in the what? Spirit. When the Holy Ghost come in with the Spirit song, the pneumaticals, I'll flow with that. I'll flow with that. And if I don't know, I'll just let it happen. You don't have to know anything. Just let go. And let God. Hallelujah. But you're not going to have a whole lot of success there except you pray in the Spirit on a consistent basis. What is it then? What is it then? What will I do then? Shaul said, I will pray in the Spirit, says with, trust me, and I will pray with the understanding. Now we can go with. We could say in, but let's go with understanding also. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing in my understanding also. Got it? I have a how can I put it? I'm trying to find the word that would demonstrate. And I know one of the words is dual. I don't want to use the word dual. But maybe I have to because I can't think of the word. But I have a dual worship. I can worship in my understanding. And I can worship in the Spirit. Both is needed. Both is edifying. Glory to God. I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding also. Last but not least, before we leave you, Colossians. I'm leaving the lampstand, so I got to get, I'm giving you this before I leave. Colossians 3. Let the word of Mashiach dwell in you richly, abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, watch, in psalms and hymns and spirit songs, pneumaticos, the word is used here for this, and spirit songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yahweh. We are admonishing one another. We are teaching one another as we sing in our understanding and we sing in the pneumaticos, in the Spirit. In the Spirit worship also. Singing with grace in our hearts to Yahweh. God wants a multiplicity, would that be a good word? Worship. He wants us to have a dual worship because not only do our spirit need to be edified, but our minds need to be edified. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Yeshua, Mashiach, giving thanks to Yahweh and the Father in Him. So whatever we do in our worship, we want to do it all in the name of Yeshua, giving thanks to Yahweh and the Father in Him. So my brothers and sisters, we are leaving, go back to the lampstand. We are leaving the lampstand. Let's go back to the lampstand. It'll get there. Yeah. Go back to the holy place. We are leaving the lampstand today. Not because we have exhausted all of the work of the Holy Spirit, but simply we've done enough here. Next week, we will move to the golden altar of incense, talking about prayer. But let's remember one thing. He said, in whatever we do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Yeshua, giving glory to Yahweh and the Father in Him. Bow your head. Father Yahweh, we come to You in the blessed name of Yeshua. We thank You for all You've done. We thank You that You are drawing us to a more perfect worship in You, that You are making us aware of the dynamics of Your worship, that we would have the benefit of the full edification of mind, of soul, of spirit, and spirit, that these last days many will come, because the Holy Ghost is drawing them to the truth. We thank You for Yeshua, who is the center of our lives and the center of our worship. We give You glory in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There might be somebody here today that's not saved.